Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Well, again, I think there are some things that, as far as coaching is concerned, that, you know, there are certain ways to approach it. And maybe I need to change my approach.
How so?
Well, like I said, it's something that I need to look at.
That was Ron Rivera on Monday. We will get more Ron Rivera today after they begin their preparations for the Green Bay Packers Sunday at Lambeau. By the way, that line's down a little bit, down to 9.5 in most spots now, I've seen. Opened as high as 10.5, 11 in a lot of places, down to 9.5. For whatever reason, and I'm not sure why this is now, the odds makers are in love with a couple of teams this year in terms of making sure that these lines don't get carried away. And Washington's been one of them. You know, they were sort of a shorter dog than anticipated at Buffalo. They were a shorter dog than anticipated Sunday at home against Kansas City. And that line's come down to 9.5. There are sharp bettors out there that still believe that Washington is kind of a live dog. I'm not sure why, especially this Sunday. I think Green Bay is a much more well-rounded team than the team they just faced, and they're playing them at Lambeau. 1 o'clock Sunday, right here on your flagship home, the Team 980. So you heard Ron Rivera talk about his approach. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Our guest right now is John Keim, of course, from ESPN, John_Keim on Twitter. What do you think he meant by that? What approach, what change in his approach do you think he was talking about?
That's a good question. I don't know, because if you, you know, when you listen to that, I'm the one who asked him how.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, especially because he was referencing the time where Montez Sweat doesn't line up properly. I'm like, well, how are you going to change that? Like, that's just a basic fundamental thing. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how a change in his approach does that. And does the approach mean that you discipline guys more for that stuff, you know, by and how? And do you change something with your practice routine? I don't know how that alleviates that. Now, there's some other, you know, things that you can clean up, definitely. And maybe that's just like by saying we can no longer accept that. I don't know. But then you, in terms of that, that means player benching. So you have to have guys behind them that are doing that stuff. And so I don't know exactly what that means, because he didn't really say what that means. So I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, I think yesterday in hearing your question and then the follow-up question, like, the possibilities are, you know, one, changing your approach, like, I'm going to get more involved maybe than I've been. You know, Tommy told me yesterday that he had a source tell him, I haven't mentioned this morning yet, that Del Rio's much more involved in coaching, not just the defense, but the team, than people think. I don't know if you've heard the same thing. I mean, we know that Del Rio, when Ron was sick last year, was obviously coaching the team. I don't even know what that would mean, really. I mean, so I thought maybe it means Rivera's going to get more hands-on in various areas, including the defense. I thought what you just said, it could be that he's going to start becoming a much harder ass than he's been, you know, and start limiting playing time for guys that aren't playing disciplined. You mentioned Montez Sweat. He also talked about a player jumping off sides. That was Chase Young, even though the play, even though the play was declined because they completed a pass to Tyreek Hill. Or right. I thought maybe it means that he's going to, you know, kind of cater to the player's strengths more than he has defensively. I don't know.
I don't know. And the funny thing is, like, when you look at that game the other day, and people always say that cater to the strengths. Well, what exactly does that mean sometimes? Because when you look at some of the stuff that happened the other day,
yeah.
It wasn't necessarily – it was missed tackles. What is that? You know what I mean? Like, there were key – there were the two of the biggest mistakes. There was a couple. There was the missed tackle on the first drive. Kendall Fuller misses that. You stop and force a field goal. That drive where we just talked about the offsides, you line up correctly. You just have to line up correctly. You're forcing a field goal. So what does that mean by playing – you know what I mean? Like, so sometimes when I hear that, I'm like, well, what does that exactly mean? And, you know, then you have William Jackson got beat for a touchdown. Well, one thing he talked about was, well, he's a guy who likes to use his hands at the line. Well, he got beat because he used his hands at the line. He didn't get his hands on him, and he tried to, and he got off balance because of this, and he stumbled. Touchdown. So that's, you know what I mean? So I think, to me, there's some confusing things here. And even at the corners, like, I think Jackson is a better man corner. Kendall Fuller probably better in zone. So how do you – where are you catering? It's just – that's where some of the stuff gets confusing. And I think some of the basic fundamentals, like tackling, maybe you work more on tackling. Maybe that's the approach, because those corners missed a lot of tackles the other day, a lot, too many. And that really hurts them. They can't give up extra yards. And the Chiefs get that. You're going to have that with Tyreek Hill. But when you're in position, and I get that sometimes you're going to shake a guy, but when you're in a position to make the tackle, you have to. And that's like, you know, that's what good defenses do. But they miss a couple, you're going to miss a couple. But you missed way too many. And so do you change your approach to fix that? I don't know. And so there's just a lot. And I'm not trying to absolve, like, schemes and all that of blame. But I just think that some of the stuff that happened the other day is not about strengths, is about fundamental football.
Yeah, I mean, what you're describing too is John Kimes joining us here on the show. You know, it's one thing to give up a big day against that team. I mean, the expectations for even a good defensive team are that Kansas City is going to roll up yards and score some points because they're that good. But missing the, you know, you mentioned the McKinnon play on the 3rd and 4 on their second drive. I mean, Fuller doesn't wrap up. Then the rookie 25, St. Juice, actually grabs him and throws him forward beyond the sticks. Catch and run where Jackson, you know, where there were multiple whiffs. It should have been like a 3-yard gain turned into 13, right. And Jackson really had a bad day tackling.
He did.
But I want to go back to Rivera for a second, because one of the things, too, in watching, because I watched it after the fact, you were on with him live, you know, on that Zoom presser on Monday. Man, that was a totally different tone from him. There was almost a little bit of a sense of resignation in his voice in some of those answers,
like,
versus the combativeness of the previous week. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I thought that was true after the game, too, a little bit. And maybe, you know, again, you go back to the approach, and maybe it's one thing he's talked about. Like, they've had a lot shorter practices lately. And he even said that some of that is you're cutting out certain periods because of injuries, or you're reducing them to walkthroughs because you don't have enough guys healthy to go through all those to do what they need to do in the starters. And so, you know, maybe you do something with that. But yeah, I think I don't know. And I think, you know, the other thing is we're talking a lot about the defense, and maybe I'm sure you get to the offense in a minute, but I don't blame the defense for that game the other day.
I don't either.
You know, not at all.
I think
that, you know, when you look at what they did, I mean, the causing the turnovers, and they
Well, two of them were unforced by the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, only one of them was legitimately forced, and that was the Hardman fumble, which Holcomb got, you know, made a really good play on.
Right. But they got three turnovers, and so, you know, they were in position. The offense should have been in position to do a lot better, and they didn't. They couldn't move the ball against a bad NFL defense. You know, couldn't do more against a bad NFL defense. So. You know, and you look at some of those plays, there's so many wasted opportunities early in the game. But yeah, going back to that, I just wonder if there's a realization that, I mean, they're clearly not ready to compete against good teams. They're just not, because they haven't. So.
No. Yeah, I mean, look, it was not a good day for the defense. They haven't had one good day in six games, but I'm with you, and you know, on the blame pie chart, the offense got the majority and the biggest slice of that pie.
And I will say, like, even after rewatching the game, there are times where I'm like, the defense did a pretty good job here and here.
It's weird. I felt the same way.
Yeah, and so, which was really weird. And it's funny because I talked to somebody else yesterday about the same thing where it's like, am I wrong in seeing that? Now, I don't think they had a great game by any means, but – when you look at some of the stuff that happened, again, some of it comes back to if you tackle here, if you're onside here, and that's the stuff, again, if I'm a coach, I'm pulling my hair out. Now, again, I would never, when you're struggling this bad defensively overall, it's never just on the players. You know, there's always other things going on, but, you know, or that could be done better by coaches, by whatever, you know. But when you see some of that stuff, you're like, whether or not you like the scheme or not, you're in position to make a play.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is one of those where, like, I felt the same way, and I talked about it on Monday. I'm like, you know, it was odd, but there were moments where I thought, okay, they're actually stepping up and they're not terrible this week. But really and truly, if Tyreek Hill doesn't drop a pass, if Mahomes doesn't do what he's done this year, like almost look disinterested and throw a ball up willy-nilly, you know, that's 10 points and probably another 40 yards of offense, maybe 14 points, who knows. And all of a sudden, instead of 13-10 at halftime, they're down 24-10 or 24-13, and they end up with 40-plus and 560 yards. And then, you know, because the third down numbers are still horrendous. They're still, and a lot of that was tackling the other day, to your point.
Yeah. No,
they gave up drives of 96 and 95 yards in the game. But again, it's the Chiefs, too, and I think that's part of why maybe we thought, you know, hey, they held the Chiefs to 10 in the first half. They held them to 31 overall.
Yeah, and I think that's where you need the offense to come through and you know, whether it's to control the clock, but just to threaten them with points. And that's where, you know, so they're not capable of beating those teams right now. And like I said, when you talk about the resignation, to me it would be like, okay, where are you really at in this building process? Because you haven't shown that. But I do think too, if you put yourself in similar positions against some other lesser offenses, you'll do much better. But can you compete? These are the teams you want to compete against when you want to get to where you want to go. And they haven't shown that at all. So, you know, and the Chargers game was closer and whatever. So that was, you know, fine.
Yeah,
that
looks the Chargers game, they were dominated. And I just think it was flukish.
Good in the red zone. And I think if there's a sense of resignation, perhaps it's that. But also, you look at the offense, like, what are you going to do? And there are, again, a lot of missed opportunities and guys who are maybe open that, you know, again, Ron Rivera talked about this the other day, where with Taylor Heinicke, sometimes staying on a guy too long, sometimes not long enough. And when you watch it in the first quarter, I see multiple examples of that. But it's like sometimes there's a get in your head a little bit, like, when do you do that? When do you take off? There's a gap. One time was like, well, do you take off now or do I not? I'm supposed to be safe, but can I go? So I don't know.
Well, let's talk about Taylor Heinicke. Let me just mention one last thing as we're talking to John Keim. You know, Ron's expression, that's interesting, but we're focused on the things that are important. It's the important, right, interesting thing. Like, I think the red zone defense in the Chargers thing, it would be more important rather than just interesting to focus on that Mike Williams just flat out dropped what would have been a first and goal pass, and that an incompletion was somehow ridiculously called a fumble. That score, as much as any game I've watched this year, is the most misleading of the season. They should have scored 35, you know, in that game, and Washington should have gotten beaten by major double digits in that game.
No, it was definitely.
So let's talk about Taylor Heinicke. He answered the question yesterday, or Monday, excuse me, that he is not making a change, and the change would be to Kyle Allen now. But I'm going to ask you this question that I asked Brendan earlier. If Ryan Fitzpatrick were healthy and ready to go this week, do you think he'd be starting at Lambeau?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, this is that was the guy that – and it's funny because some of that comes back to some of the things that we're talking about with that we'll talk about with Heinicke now, and then – you know, there are some limitations, we know that, but also just the inexperience as well. So you can't, and I'm not saying like he's going to get a ton better or anything like that. I don't know where he'll go, but in terms, you know, he has limitations, plus he's inexperienced. So like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not inexperienced. So some of those things that we're talking about with Heinicke that Rivera brought up the other day stem from still inexperienced as a starter. I mean, the guy's only started, what, 7 or 8 games in his career. So, you know, he's clearly not a finished product. Now, how much better he gets, I don't know. But the point is, like, some of that, and that's what they always liked with Fitzpatrick, is that experience and that certain things he knew he would know how to handle because of that experience. And sometimes it's just a getting a team out of the wrong call. Sometimes it's making, you know, getting the proper read before the snap, et cetera. So yes, I do think that he would if he were healthy, yeah.
So how much do you think his answer on Monday when he said, no, Taylor, I'm not considering a change, how much of that was public support, you know, for his starting quarterback to make sure that Taylor doesn't hear that he's, you know, on the hot seat, but that maybe behind the scenes they are either were last earlier this week or will be soon seriously considering Kyle Allen as an option?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And the things that I know about Rivera, he's not going to say things publicly about players until he gets to the boiling point, right? Like, and we saw that last year with Dwayne Haskins. Like, he was very publicly supportive until you got to the point where it's like, I can no longer support this. And not just, I think from him, it was also because of the habits that he was seeing that pushed you over the top, right? And some other things that you saw, more so than just the play. And that's where I think with, you know, and I know like with the linebackers last year, it was a long time into the season before he really kind of threw down the hammer with them. And so he's not going to say things. He's not really going to criticize publicly a player. So I don't know how you could. And one thing that he did, there's a couple of things that he talked about with Kyle Allen that, you know, he's moving around better. Either he or Ken Zampezi was talking about he's moving around better in practice and looking more like his old self, right, coming off that ankle injury. And so I think, you know, that could play into it as well. So I don't see how you don't consider something if it goes bad again Sunday. I just don't. I mean, you know, at this point, maybe it's just swapping a guy for a guy, but maybe it's something that can give you a spark for a game or two. And maybe somebody, you know, maybe another quarterback can see things a little bit differently and process it on this play that leads to something else, right? So I can't imagine that, you know, if you have another tough game, that it's not a serious consideration, just because logically, why wouldn't it be, you know?
Okay, and so do you think if he struggles and the offense struggles Sunday, that Kyle Allen's the starter in Denver?
I don't know that, but I don't see how you don't consider. I don't know, Kevin. I mean, why does the offense struggle? Is it because Heinicke just has a bad game and throws 4 picks? Is it because, you know, De'Ami Brown drops a ball or something?
Let's just say it's a game like Sunday against Kansas City, where the offense in general didn't play well. None of his players helped him out, but he wasn't good either.
Well, see, here's the problem. If I say I think Allen will start, I don't want to see a headline saying Time says Allen starts. So I don't know. And I know that's how this works, right? So I know.
Really, we're going to get a headline. Kimes on Sheehan's show said that Kyle Allen's going to start at Denver if Taylor doesn't play well. No, we're just having a conversation because I think if it's another woeful offensive performance, that Kyle Allen's going to get a shot.
Yeah, I think let's say this. I would agree with that. I think I could see that happening. Yes, yes, of course. And that's what I say. I think that based on the way the offense has gone, then yeah, it would certainly make sense, and I could see that happening.
Explain to me. Well, actually, real quickly, one more football question: who's going to be healthy enough to come back and play this week?
Don't know yet, and we'll find out. I mean, Antonio had the MRI the other day.
Right.
That one would concern me because it was coming off a week where he was able to do more in practice. And then he has to leave twice in that game because of the shin injury. And you wonder what else that impacts, what that injury impacts as far as the calf and all that. So that one, I don't know. And then, oh boy, there's a list of them.
They could resign. They could sign Darius Geis. He's now available.
Yeah, that's the last couple of weeks have been long enough. Let's not go there.
All right, forget about the injuries. I want to ask you real quickly one last question before I got to let you roll and get to a break. How is it that the NFL apparently I'm assuming you read the Florio story about the 650,000 emails not being outside the scope of the Beth Wilkinson investigation? How is that possible?
I don't know. I don't know, and that's a good question. I don't have a good answer. I agree. I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that they didn't even ask Jay Gruden to interview in this investigation. I mean,
maybe at some point we're going to get
an investigation of the investigation.
Well, there are a lot of things that don't make sense in this whole situation. So just throw that on the list.
Yeah. Hey, Beth, in this investigation that we, the NFL, have now taken over, you're not allowed to interview Bruce Allen or Jay Gruden.
There's just a lot that doesn't make sense. The one thing that does make sense is that certainly there are a lot of things they don't want to come out, and they're going to be protective of owners in this league.
All right,
and that's not,
I lied. Back to football. I don't know if ESPN's come to you and done this, but we see all the time, the John's participation in one of these big, mid-season things and updates on the – if they come to you, if they haven't already, and they say, all right, we're doing this, mid-season or through six games or through seven games, season predictions, where is your prediction now? Where is this season headed?
Well, before the season, I thought they were a 9 or 10-win team, but that's with Fitzpatrick as a quarterback, and I assume the defense would be a lot better than this. So I think right now you're looking at probably best-case scenario, 7 wins, right? That would be the best-case scenario, don't you think?
I think that's wildly optimistic.
I think that is optimistic. That's
right
why I say that to me is a
–
that's why I say best-case scenario.
Best case, sure.
I mean, the way they're playing right now, you can't – they have to have something – One thing that I wrote even earlier this week, they haven't played a good game yet. Like a complete game where you say, oh, okay, that's the team I thought I'd see. And, because the Giants game and the Falcons game, you came away from that. Part of the conversation was that, okay, they won, but my God, what's wrong with the defense? That was supposed to be the strength, and they're giving up all these third downs and all that. And so they haven't done that. Until they play a complete game, just because you get to an easier part of the schedule doesn't mean you're going to change everything around. So right now, best case scenario, I would say 7 wins, but realistically, you're looking at a couple less because, Carolina's going to look at them the same way people are looking at that. Are looking at Carolina and Denver.
I did this yesterday. They're only going to be, as of now, there's maybe two games that they'll be favored in. Maybe. And that would be the Philadelphia game at home and the Giant game maybe in the finale on the road. Those are the two that they could potentially be favored in. They're going to be – anybody that thinks they're going to be a favorite at Denver next week, you don't know anything about odds making.
No.
Denver will be a solid favorite at home next week unless they lose a bunch of players in their game Thursday night.
Yeah. So it's okay, going to be difficult for them to get to that number. Based on what we're seeing right now, you know, you're certainly not going to get that number.
All right. Thanks, as always. John's up even earlier than I am, so he's always willing to come on. He'd come on right at the beginning of the show. His day's half over like mine is at 6 a.m. All right. I'll talk to you. Thanks.
I watch a lot of film already, man. I'll talk to you later.
See ya. John Keim, John_Keim on Twitter. I want to tell you about Loan Pronto. Mortgage rates are on the move. Don't miss the chance to lock in the best rate of your lifetime with my friends at Loan Pronto. Call Loan Pronto today. Take advantage of their super popular zero-cost refi program. Many people are doing this right now. You should too. You can get a rate with an APR in the low twos with no junk fees and no closing cost. Yeah, they'll pay your closing costs even if you've refinanced in the last 6 months. Loan Pronto's all digital process is fast, it's easy, virtually no paperwork required, and most loans, they get closed in 14 days. If you act now, you can even skip your next two house payments altogether. That's a bonus. Skip your next two house payments. Wouldn't that be nice? Call Loan Pronto now. Start the process. Don't wait on rates to spike again. If your current APR is over 2.75%, 2.75%, call now for a free 30-second quote. 571-775-1810 or loanpronto.com. That's 571-775-1810 or loanpronto.com. They're an equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible. NMLS consumeraccess.org.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.